Yes. Okay. Yes.
I have shoes that are older.
This guy is older than some of the people I've seen here.
I have video games older than the con attendees, you know?
I think we've
board games older than the con attendees.
I have board games before there was video games.
Yeah.
Back in board games, board games are, and that's it.
Yep.
The home edition.
I've just read the rules so far. I want to bring it to my Monday board gaming group, and until we find the time and the mood to play it.
I got a little German with me, a little Polish, but mostly Russian.
I'm English, Welsh, Irish, not Scottish.
And they're running patrols trying to find the person that did the thing.
I heard a joke about that. There's a British guy and an Irish guy. They're in the dog park. The Irish guy says to the British guy, "That's an ugly dog you have there. What do you call that dog?" And the British guy says, "Well, it's a long tail, long nose, short-legged terrier."
The second fur in the back.
And the Irish guy's like, "Huh. Well, I bet that my Irish wolfhound can beat your dog."
They don't have flyers.
So they let the two dogs go. The Irish wolfhound gets to beat the dog. Runs past the
There's no elevator.
Wow, that's pretty good. What was the name of your dog? He's like, it's a long nose, long tail, short-legged terrier. But in America, they call it a crocodile.
Okay, we're here for Gray Muzzles. And we're going to introduce ourselves, and thank you very much for coming to FurProc. I am Anthracoon, and I have been to over 30 cons, 23 of them Anthracon alone. I've also been to all five of the Anthro New Englands, about five or six of these FurProcs, Pine FurCon both years, and so on. But of course, my name is kind of a play on Anthracon, but also Anthracoon, you know, man raccoon or something like that. And although I am from Massachusetts, I welcome you to Connecticut. Oh, I knew that was. I have bad puns. Pittsburgh, Boston. I have been a DJ on college radio since 1981, just north of Boston, 91.7 FM. Thank you very much. And we do a wide variety of music. We have bands come down to play live. We do interviews. I've talked to Graham Chapman of Monty Python. I've talked to Johnny Winter, all sorts of people like that. So I've done that in my real life. I'm Postal Service. But my nickname on a lot of the things online is Raccoon Radio, because obviously there's furry and there's radio. So I've been part of both. Now, a lot of us here have been to several cons. I recognize some familiar faces here. And this is great, and I started doing cons around 97 with the very first AnthroCon, Albany AnthroCon at the time. So we've got some great memories, and we've got some conventions coming up we're looking forward to. I guess this is the last year in this hotel, and they're going to find another one. I've heard about mushrooms on the carpet or drips or who knows what or something. Parking's always an issue and things like that. But still, this has been a fun con, the ones I've attended. Fur Fright and now Furpocalypse. So this is great that everyone is here. And we've had some panels for Gray Muzzles at Anthracon, and also we had one at Pine FurCon last year. And I suggested doing it this year, and I figured, well, why not? So what I'd like to do is, if you're not shy. You can come up here, sit down for a second. I'll hand you the microphone so everyone can hear you, and just talk about yourself, you know? We want to introduce ourselves. If you're too shy, then that's okay.
Suggestion, instead of us coming up, can we just pass the mic around?
That's possible, too. I was thinking of doing a Phil Donahue, if you remember Phil Donahue. Was it SCTV or something? He was going like this. So we'll do a Phil Donahue, yeah. Wireless mics, this is amazing. I mean, I saw a show once, this blues guy, Buddy Guy, was playing in downtown Boston. He's playing the guitar, he's going out in the street, oh man, he's, you know, wireless technology, it's amazing. And that was a while ago, too.
Can you do Ed Sullivan?
Can I do, really be true? I'm not so big at imitation. No, but it's just great to have everyone here. And we'll just go around. Does anyone want to introduce yourself? Go ahead. There you go.
He's talking about his favorite subject.
Hey, I'm Calvin. Let's see. I first became aware I was a furry in 94. Managed to, 5 years later, snag my husband of 20 years,
yay,
Nikita Horkin. And I was born a gray muzzle because I'm a dolphin.
Oh.
You
get some gray in me.
And, let's see, this is... We lost count of the cons we've been to, haven't we?
Well, let's just say, yeah, we've been to everyone since, like, 2001.
We were at the first Megaplex, were at the first BLFC, we were at, back when it was a Double Tree and they had a Cookie Tree.
Third FC.
Third FC. Yeah. And we are the token dolphin and orca fursuiters in the parade at almost every con. So if you see a dolphin or orca fursuiter, about 8 out of 10 chance it's us.
You already said everything good.
Well, introduce yourself.
I know who I am.
They don't.
Oh, okay. Well, hello, I'm having an Alzheimer's moment. I'm Nikita. Like, so we already know that. This is my husband, Cal. We just went to, actually, Hawaii this year for our 20th anniversary. Ooh. And we got to swim with spinner dolphins, which was amazing. Just a whole bunch of fun. Like you said, we've been to all these different cons. And I'm just going to show my gray muzzleness. You probably can relate to that. I discovered the furry kingdom on a bulletin board.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I would tell some people about the other day, he goes, do you need one of those cork things in the lobby that you stick pins in? No, no.
At least they know what a pin is. Yeah.
Well, when you have your computer at home, yes, you turn it on, did your computer ever make this noise? Beep, beep, until your little sister picks up the phone.
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, let's go. Gray muzzles. We invented it.
I'm not sure if you invented it, but you perfected it.
Experience it.
Yeah, I found the fandom in about 95, which was my first con in 05, and going every year.
You might have to put the mic closer.
Your beard is blocking reception.
Yeah, I'll put my poker on the beard.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Most of the time, we get people go, how do you get a beard like that? I'm like, be lazy, go shave. Done. It even had to build itself in. Yes, I found the fandom in 95 on IRC.
By
recommendation of my not Catholic minister.
And an audience in the other room.
And we just became just, everyone's just a big family.
I just want to say I appreciate all the stuff you guys have been doing. I know it's been crazy.
And my furry name is Mike, because I didn't want something complicated that I would forget. Or just Apple.
Thank you.
It's
just nice to know,
like,
here.
Yeah,
from all walks of life.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Name is Iffy Jeter. I am 40 years young. I'm a North American river otter. I said
we're
going to be here, right?
Yeah.
We're
going to weasel otter ferret, so we're going to cause trouble.
Okay. So, I joined through a pen and paper role-playing game for mutant animals called After the Bomb.
Yeah,
I have
yes.
Palladium Games, yes.
I have all those books.
Awesome. It was a furry litmus test that my DMs put me through when I complimented a Michelle Light t-shirt my DM was wearing. And I rolled a random species from a table in exchange for bonus stats, and one of the species choices I rolled was an otter, so North American River Otter. That was about 2002. And I met my lovely husband, Muscle, in 2003. And we've been together ever since.
Cool.
Hello. Hi. Thank you. Hello, everyone. I have gone by several names. Mostly, I have gone by Mustel. More recently, Ferdinand. In this convention, I go as the Dupter. I discovered the fandom back in '93 while I was in college. When I was looking through Muse, M-Muse. You're familiar with that. At the time, there was Furry Month.
Yeah.
And so I discovered that there was a group of people with this interest. And I was interested in the book. And I don't know why I became a fairy. I just, someone asked me what I want, you know, what I felt I wanted to be. And it just felt right. I chose the North American black-footed fairy, the wild ones that were in danger. Like I said, there's no real explaining it. Some people can relate. It just felt right. Gone to a bunch of conventions over the years. Probably not as many as 30, but I'm getting there. As my husband, Vivi, has said that we met, what is it about?
On Furry Month in about 2003.
Was that 16 years ago? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we've been together that long.
Congrats.
Thanks. Yeah, almost we're catching up to you guys.
we'll stop for a little bit.
Sure, hang back a bit.
So
break up for like 4 years and look at it and get back together again.
Wait, this isn't that kind of.
Oh, just go with suspended animation and then.
Go climb back in the vial. You know?
I am not going to go Walt Disney and free myself. Sorry.
Okay.
How about a temporal warp? You know, you just
that'd be
go.
Cool.
Yeah, stay the same age.
If you want to hop in the TARDIS, you know, I can arrange. You know,
yeah,
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 consult the doctor on temporal vortices.
He is the only one who
has
suit is bigger on the inside.
Okay, you're okay.
Round out the table.
Right.
Hello, everyone. I am Art Volpine, and I discovered a fandom back in 2001. I'm 34 now, so I'm kind of at the younger end of the gray muzzle spectrum. you're never too old to be a part of furry fandom, I say.
Right.
So, 2001, I discovered Fur Nation. So there you go. If you remember Fur Nation, you might be a gray muzzle. And I discovered, you know, Anthro Art, and I thought it was neat, just like every other fantasy art out there, like elves, dwarves, things, and like that. And then shortly after that, I realized that there was a fandom for it. So didn't really come out of the furry closet until about 2008 after college, and upon meeting some of my friends in northeastern Pennsylvania, where I hail from, they said, oh, there's a place called Fur Fright. So they brought me up here, and that was my first ever con in 2009, and I've been going to that con ever since, and recently I've been going to Furadelphia, which is very close to where I live at, and when not drawing or attending cons, I'm a library director, a lot of people say, why do we need a library? We have computers. Don't get me started. But
it's the same paper. You need the book.
You need a book.
You need the book.
You need a book, and you need to keep libraries alive, you know?
The smell.
Real
but
books.
Read a book.
How do I scroll?
Dewey Decimal.
Yeah. And one of my great muscle-isms I have is I hear a lot of people talking about and complaining how long it takes for your cell phone to boot up. For 30 seconds. And I remind them that I had an IBM computer that loading Windows 98 on it, it took 4 minutes to load up the desktop. So I also had Apple IIe, which was for games, and it had a word processor on it. In order to print, you had to put in code. You had to say, line one, print, hello. Line two, print, my name is Art. Line three, print, this is good, you know? So, there's my gray muscle, is on.
Hi, my name is Gray Muzzle, and I've been in the fandom since 2009, done 30 plus conventions. This is my 11th Fur Fright Fur Park, 8 Anthrocons. When I'm not lawyering, I'm doing a furry webcomic, Tina Story, which we will have a panel on at 8 o'clock tonight in this room, if anyone is interested. And I am married to a non-furry, but several years ago I met my friend Dick Sander, and he has become my con buddy, and we do most of the cons we do together. So,
great.
Can you hear? My name's Dick Sander. I found the furry fandom about 1983. But I'd been collecting stuff since probably 68 or so, and didn't know there was a fandom until then. And there was a combination con icon down on in New York on the island, and that's where I came across the furry stuff. I said, oh, there we go. So the first furry con that I did was out in Conference out in 93 out in California. And from then, whatever I could find, I mean, we had the Albany Anthrocon, and I started going to Fur Fright, Fur Park when it was up in Windsor Locks. I think I was there. I think I started with the third one. So I've been in it for a while, I guess, would be the thing. And,
I have to ask a question since you knew about the fandom so early on. Did you meet T-Rabbit?
Not that I'm aware of.
He was at several Anthropons, and he passed on a couple of years ago, but he did a lot of things at Anthrocon and maybe some other conventions as well. He would do his cable TV show, recorded or whatever there and everything. Yeah. I put up a couple of videos of early Anthrocons, and you can see him up there in like 98 and everything. So Richard Concepcion, yeah, he passed away a couple of years ago. He was a puppeteer. And a person.
Down at Icon, one of the things was Deal Whitley. That's where he used to put his art, because yeah. He was local to the area, so that was
right.
One of the ways I got into it. But I've been, I don't know a ton of people actually. I see a lot of people, but do I know them?
Well, we're here now, maybe we get to know each other.
That's sort of how I got into it, and been there ever since. Probably will be there forever. So.
There are some books out there, like Furry Nation by Joe Strike, that do talk about the early years of con, for instance, yeah. The people like Mark Molino and all of the early con. So pretty interesting if you're curious.
Yeah, that is a very good book.
I'm on page 31. Thank you. Well, if you wanted to interview people, interview me.
Okay, Soggy Otter here. Much like everybody else. Found out about the fandom in about 2000 or 2001, and I said, I'm one of those guys. I say you don't become a furry, you are always furry.
Yes,
and
yes,
out
yes.
Name
yes.
For
amen.
It. When you discover the fandom.
But yeah, I happen to live like 15 minutes away from Fur Fright's old home in Waterbury, which, by the way, that hotel recently got torn down, and there's now a wholesale food restaurant in the area. But yeah, I went to. I said in 2007. I said, "Oh, I've been meaning to go to Anthrocon someday." And well, here's a con that just sprouted up practically in my backyard. So I went in 2007. Had a wonderful time, so much so that I went to Anthrocon in 2008. Helped out at Fur Fright in what I thought was a very minimal capacity in 2008. And in 2009, they slapped a staff badge on me. And now I'm doomed. The only way out of staff is...
Involuntarily recruited.
Yeah, well, he kind of twisted my arm, but he didn't have to twist very hard. But, I mean, I had told Billick, I don't want to be on staff. I'm perfectly happy to help out in the background in a completely unnoticed and noticed way, but no, he was having none of it. He saw me in the Thursday night pre-bridge line, and he said, put a staff ribbon on Soggy's badge. And I said, God damn it, Bellick, you're trying to suck me in, aren't you? He just nodded and smiled. Anyway, every fur fright for Pox since then, Anthrocon since 2008, furry picnic to the east of Hartford, Wickham Park, yeah, every spring, and also Tiny Paws ever since it started out in Danbury. And that's pretty much my story. Well, my name, Soggy. Not sure how, well, I know how I came up with the name. I needed a password for something, and I wanted it to be Otter and something easy to remember, so I was like saying, okay, what can I add to Otter? Wet Otter, nah. Swimming Otter, yeah, it's getting a little bit closer. Soggy Otter? Yeah, that'll be my password. Over the next few weeks, I said, you know, that would make a great name for an otter. Plus Soggy is, everybody knows how to spell it, and everybody knows how to pronounce it. Some people's badges are pretty much impronounceable. I mean, you have to ask them, how do you pronounce your name, and what's the origin? I'm just a Soggy Otter.
Okay, my name is Eric. I go to the fandom, swapped in directly. Like, remember back in the early 90s, mid-90s, almost every company was putting out the equivalent of a furry anthropomorphic comic book. Things like Captain Carrot was from DC, and some of them were satires on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Another one was, let's see, I'm trying to think what it was. Oh yeah, it was also a satire on Miami Vice. They call it Miami Mice. And it was really over the top. I mean, if you think Miami Vice was rough, that thing was even rough. But anyway, found out about the first Anthrocon in 97 after it was over, about 2 months after that. So I'm going to the next one. Got all about it. Then I found about 98, literally 2 days after it was over. And I said, okay, that's it. So I've been to every Anthrocon since then. So 99 to 2019. I've been further confusion 2001 to 2011. Then I skipped for reasons to 2017, and I was the first FAU, and I've been to a few others, two furthermore, and I basically started out originally. I used to draw. I started out with the Dragon OC. Then I moved on to something, quote, more realistic, which was an otter. That was an otter, sorry. Although I do like otters. It was a ring-tailed lemur. And this, of course, was before Madagascar. And I named him Urex, and then I went on, and eventually I moved on to finalize my dragon character, which is, you can call him a cobra dragon, but he's most like a dragon with a cobra's hood. And his name is Drakeel, and talk about pronunciation. Yeah, not everyone asked me how to pronounce it, but ironically, it was a program that could read Word document in voice. He got it right in the first try, which was odd. And I also, when I went on Second Life since 2007, I just went on as a lemur first, but then I went to kangaroo and make it unique at the time, made it a saber-toothed kangaroo. And the Second Life is called Urex Broom, so that's my kangaroo character. He's about 7'11", so he's fairly big. And I said, I've been to several cons, met a lot of people, including I did meet Rabbit T. Rabbit before he died. So I was going to get, because I've been down to Megatons a few times through 2006, he was there, and also at Anthrocon. and basically been to this con since, I think the first one at Bradley Airport, I think the one was only 2 days, I was at that one. I've been to every Furfright for Apocalypse since then, up to this one. And I am going in a month, I should be at Midwest Fur Fest, will be my second one, first time was in 2015. And I think that's about it.
Yep. All right, we get another table over here. Thanks.
You talk. I'm not going to talk.
Hello, I'm Hetman Silver Fox, and I've been fascinated in drawing anthropomorphic creatures since, I'd say, about 95, but didn't really know there was a fandom until about 2001. But shortly after that, I met my ex, who didn't like any of it at all, and so I kind of stopped drawing for about 11 years until I escaped, and this one rescued me over here.
Yay!
This is my mate. She goes by Ririsu, and this is our daughter.
So you're a rescue animal.
Yeah. She rescued me, and then I adopted her.
But who rescued who in the end?
Yeah. Since then, me and Riri's been together for about almost 4 years now. And this con was actually our first con that we went to last year. The first furry con.
Yeah.
So it's kind of our home.
Yes.
And I still enjoy drawing. Just traditional stuff, just for fun type of thing. But that's pretty much it.
Cool.
Yay.
Okay, that's good. Nope. All right. You don't want
to? Okay. Bashful.
Okay. My name is Miscellaneous Mouse. I guess this has been said before. I guess being furry comes back way back to birth almost. I was 4 when I wrote my first anthropomorphic story about a tree that, you know, talks and interacts. And apparently my mom even saved the story and, you know, was trying to publish it. Turns out it's like very much like The Giving Tree, because she sent it to a bunch of publishers and no one took it, and The Giving Tree came out 5 years later. I'm like, wait a minute. But, you know, unicorns and everything I was into from a kid, but never, you know, thinking Aesop's Fable, we went to a fandom. And at one point, around the 90s, there was an overlap between SCA and the fur fandom, and that's kind of how we went from SCA into the fur fandom. My husband found out about the fur fandom, and we went to Conference East 95, was our first con. Since then, we've been to the first AnthroCon in Albany, before Kagi kidnapped it. We've been to all the AnthroCons up until the point where Kagi dragged it kicking and screaming to Pittsburgh. And that was a little too far outside our range, so we dropped there. But before then, both of us had not only been staff, the first year was in Philadelphia, we were already staff. And I rose to be assistant art show director before it got moved. So we were pretty active there. And, you know, when you spend 60 hours and 4 days working, you're like, wow, when did the weekend go? I've been published a writer in several of the con books in the Fur Fandom. Yes, Fur Fandom magazine. I've tried Bird Muck when it was popular, and I guess with the slow speed that I had in the ancient the computer, the dial-up, but it was the fact that, you know, all these tech, you know, these people were, you know, doing things, you know, how you described what you were doing, and I'm trying to read them, and I'm like, the words are going too fast, and they're like, what words? Like, the words on my screen, they're going too fast, I can't read these, and I never quite got onto the online community, unfortunately, because of that, but I love the conferences. I still remember, like, some of the first that I've seen, like, at Albany AnthroCon, they actually had a fully aquatic fursuit that was being tested in the swimming pool. That was awesome. So, that's like a lot of, we've seen some of the first time we've seen a robotic dragon, it had this, like, little guy in the mouth. You know, some of us, the mech, and it basically had to be disassembled.
The mech wolf.
The mech wolf. And it had to be disassembled to go into the elevator.
Yeah.
Okay, that was the dragon.
We have to find out if there are any images of that on the web, because I once found a short video of it. Video quality was terrible, and the audio was worse, but it was like it sounded like it was doing the "Puny humans, I will destroy you all!" little cockroach in the cockpit.
It was a wolf mech, and in the mouth of the mech was a little wolf doll, and as the person walked, the little dog inside was controlled. It was actually moving controls.
Yeah, the one I saw had a little cockroach at the controls.
All right, so that was a
that might have been a different one. But the Fur Fright for POTS, we've actually been to the very first Fur Fright event, which didn't involve a hotel. It was actually a picnic.
That's what I heard.
The campsite, yep. So we went to that, and I think other than the past 3 years, which we missed, the only other Fur Fright that we missed is the year my dad died 2 days before the con. And so we're like, sorry, I think I got other plans. But otherwise, this has kind of been our home, you know. And we've got to, I think, the first Tiny Paws as well. But our budget's a little bit limited now, so we're kind of like picking and choosing as we go.
Hi, my name's Tony. So over here, I was furry before. I was in very much into the Funny Animal Comics. Wasn't that what they called them?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Not that. Now, I had gone down to, Icon down on Long Island and down in the 80s, and I don't remember any furry thing there. I wish I'd run into it earlier. It would have saved a lot of time.
Yeah, the Archbishop is, Gil Whitley used to put up a lot of stuff on there.
Again, I don't remember. I've gone to a lot of sci-fi conventions as well as esoteric conventions before this. Then someone showed me some actual furry art, and we heard about the convention. We ended up at Conference East. Then there was one out in Chicago that I went to.
Cleveland.
I know after 2 years they moved from Conference East West.
It was somewhere out that way.
Bounced around, and then of course first Anthrocon, and I made a mistake of volunteering at the art show, and for some reason they said if you volunteered you were supposed to get we put in enough hours. Oh, we'll get you in next year. Well, they couldn't get us in, so we'll make you staff. I think I was suckered in like you were.
That's how they get you. We play hard to get, good free help is very hard to find, so we are desperate for any warm body.
So they got us in, and it got to the point where Anthrocon was just working the art show, which was actually quite enjoyable. But it was nice to go out once in a while looking, there's other stuff I'm going on.
Panel for once.
Fur Fright became our enjoying con as opposed to our working con, which we still do a lot of doing. But so except for missing the last, the last three cons here, we've pretty much been going steady. We again didn't go to Anthrocon when they moved to Pittsburgh. That was just out of our range. We just can't drive that far anymore. I do drawings once in a while. If anyone is up in Glastonbury, Connecticut, the Foxy Pizza, I highly recommend. But go in there and ask them if they have any drawings. Because I started doing sketches on their placemats, and now it's kind of like if I show up, I have to do it. But there's little cartoons involving, the thing like Foxy Pizza. Guess what I'm doing. But where is it?
It's Glastonbury, Connecticut.
Glastonbury, Connecticut in Fox Run Mall.
There is a chain in the Midwest called Fox's Pizza Den. And I was at one in Robinson, Pennsylvania, and they had a poster that said, "What does the fox eat?" Right. So, but they have good pizza there. Pittsburgh, you kind of miss, it's too bad, it's a little far for you. I fell in love with Pittsburgh since the con moved there in 06, and I go there and I spend time before and after. When it comes to these conventions, if you have time to see the area, like right now we're in the fall, it's gorgeous out here, and that's great. So if you've got time and you want to go to the various different things, there's actually a place, I think it's still open, in I think it's Chester, Connecticut, called Barker's Cartoon Character and Art Museum, that has tons of memorabilia about cartoon characters, superheroes, you name it. It's inside, it's outside, it's only about $5 or $10. And one year I went there, actually I think I went there the second year as well, and it was a great thing to do the day before. So if you do go to these conventions, check out the different things. Certainly there's lots of like special restaurants and everything. When you're in Pittsburgh, Primanti Brothers puts the fries and the slaw in the sandwich. And just down the street from here is Tom's, which has steamed hamburgers. So you never know what you'll find. Steamed hamburgers is right down the street here. If you cross the street, be careful. Don't be roadkill for real. Because 372 is kind of wide. But it is real good.
You guys want to give us a shout? Go right ahead.
Hello, I'm Eamon Fond. I kind of discovered, well, I knew about furries in about 94, 95 when I was in high school, right when the internet was becoming big. But being the outskirts of Denver, you know, when the suburbs I was building up, finding a group to do anything at the time was near impossible for somebody in my introverted state. You know, even my parents, hey, can you drive me an hour to meet some weird people who like to do animal things? This wasn't, you know, a thing, you know, really, you know, my family would probably encourage. So I joined the Army, did that for a couple of years, got out. But I always remember enjoying doing, like, furry things, you know, really enjoying the furry artwork, you know, movies like Disney's Robin Hood, special place in my heart for most furries. You know, that was one of our awakening movies. Like, oh, maybe these animal creatures are really awesome. I want to be just like them. So that was always the thing. I always kind of considered myself a long time to be like furry adjacent, furry ally. I wasn't really part of the fandom, but always enjoyed the artwork, supported people who were. It wasn't until like 2013 I actually started to get to know furries more, and then they pulled me in. 2014 I started developing my own Sona, a hybrid deer fox bird. A fox periton, you know, bit of mythological to it. No, this is done by a fursuit maker that's furred up. I'm mostly known for my wild colored hair. That's how most people recognize me. And then, yeah, since about 2015, I started going to more cons, Anthrocon, FurPoc, A&E, MFF. Hopefully I can start getting some more time and more money to start traveling to some more of the West Coast and maybe in Texas. You know, here they have fun down there. Want to try out the one in Atlanta Furry Weekend, I believe, FW? Yeah. But so mostly, most of my stuff has just been in the New England area. But mostly, yeah, I've been pulled into the fandom full-time since 2013-ish. But for most of my life, I've always enjoyed, always had affiliation for animal things, animal cartoons, movies, and that sort of stuff. And I'm here with my furry child.
We have a late car, if that person would like to.
Oh, yeah.
Tribute, just came in the room, and
right
it's
on
your
the spot, just
you
like
don't
that.
Have to. As I tell people, you don't have to. If you're too shy, don't worry about it. Go right ahead.
Hi, my name's Ed. I'm from New York City. I didn't know I was a furry until like 3 months ago when I started making this this head for Comic-Con in New York City. What? And I was looking at all these YouTube videos, and the more I looked, the more I took the dive. And so I made that. I went to Comic-Con in New York City, and I met a whole bunch of New York City furries, and they led me to today. So this is my first convention ever, and my husband does not know that at all. Yes. And so I'm having fun. So. Yeah. Hi, everybody. Yeah. Yes, and I really do have gray beard when I couldn't grow it. It's really gray.
Yeah.
Thank you. Of course, you know, do you say I'm going to a furry convention or something? Oh, well, I'm going to this thing. We kind of like cartoons and, you know, fiction and things like that. Yeah. I actually was part of something called Saturday Morning Con Tunes in Woburn, Massachusetts. We only had 65 people our first year, but I thought it was great. We had a whole bunch of panels about stuff, whether it was anime or Hanna-Barbera or The Simpsons, or things like that. Very similar to this, and I hope it does grow. Yeah. It's going to go to a different hotel next year, apparently. But in that case, oh yeah, you like cartoons and everything, you know? You know what I used to like? I used to love the Great Space Coaster. It's a kid's show. Oh, yeah. Well, we had Jim Martin over at, you know, the guy that does Gary Gnu. We had him at Anthrocon and everything. And, of course, you get that movie that's coming out in a month or two, Mr. Rogers, right?
Yeah.
Anything. All of us grew up with that. Man from Pittsburgh, Mr. Rogers there. So it's part of our youth. It's part of our culture. And, you know, there are people out there that... There are people out there that put on a New England Patriots number 12 thing. They think they're Tom Brady. You know, well, we're like them. We have our own favorites. We have our own little fans. Yeah.
The other thing.
Talking about the old shows, you remind me about how this movie's coming out very soon, The Banana Splits.
Oh, that.
I remember watching them as a kid.
Yeah.
And then this happens. What the actual...
A horror movie.
What the hell? Whose brainchild was that?
He's been waiting for a while.
Go ahead, yeah.
Well, one of the things I use a lot at work, because I work with way too many government agencies with no sense of humor, and they're like, so where are you going on vacation? I'm going to a costume-themed charity fundraiser.
Yes.
And they go, oh, that's really awesome. Who's your voice? For the War Dogs Foundation. And I explain that. Oh, that's great. I completely love it. What are you going to wear? I'm going to wear a werewolf, which I actually do have a werewolf costume, because they're bringing it with me. Like, oh, that's awesome, right on Halloween, yeah, that's great. But I just as long as you don't look at my toolbox where I have the FAA logo,
yeah.
Except it's been photoshopped to say Furry Aviation Administration, but it's the same logo. As long as they don't look at that, they're fine.
The most common response I've used for, like, what is this thing, is we're a freelance mascot convention. We do charities, we do children's parties, and I've had so many folks that aren't furries go, they just light up, and it's like, oh, that's awesome. You, like, you help kids, and it's like, oh, yeah. I mean, okay, curiosity, just because we've both done it, show of hands, how many people have done, like, children's charities or suited for fundraisers, that kind
or
of thing?
Or just somehow, yeah.
Okay, because... Yeah, it's wonderful having little kids just run up and you can pat them on the head and know you make their day. And I think that's one of the things that keeps people like us in the fandom, is the fact we're making the world a more happy place just by being ourselves.
You guys are all talking about this. I have my favorite, and this is honest to goodness, true life, Great Muzzle story, and I laugh every time I think about it. At a different convention that will remain nameless in Reno. I'm walking down the hallway. I was looking for you, as a matter of fact. Walking by the food and everything else, I went to the restroom, come out, and I had a gentleman about in our age group, you know, gray hair, older gentleman. He looks right at me and he goes, "What the hell, blah, 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 a few other select words, is all this stuff all about?" And I'm like, okay, he's on. He goes, "You know, I don't get it. You know, there's people running around here and all these costumes and all this other stuff, and there's guys hugging guys and girls hugging girls, and, you know, dogs and cats sleeping together. You know, what the heck is going on?" And I looked at him and I said, "Well, what don't you understand?" He said, I don't get the whole thing. And, you know, besides, people like you and me, we're too old for this.
Oh, yeah.
You're too old.
We are. And I said, yeah, right across the bow.
Like words.
So I armed myself. But really, what do you mean by being old? Well, you know, you should be getting ready for retirement and sitting at home. And, oh, yeah, I got the rocking chair and the hammock, you know, my place down in Florida. No offense to Floridians. You know, ready to go, and I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to, screw you. I'm going to put on my person. I'm going to go frolic, which I use that word. He went like, what? What? And the final line, and, you know, everybody over here is over 18, so I'm going to use the language because that's what makes it.
Uh oh.
I don't know about it.
So, anyway, he looks like, what? He says, and all this stuff going around, you guys like to, won't drop the F bomb, but like to F bomb animals? Is that all you do? I said, well, not all that we do. But I said, oh, by the way, I'm married to a dolphin. Have a nice day.
You want to talk about dressing up and all that kind of stuff? I'm in Beverly, Massachusetts. We're across from a little town called Salem.
Ooh!
You can only imagine what it is like, okay? It takes you an hour to drive one mile. Yeah, you've got families, you've got the college kids, and they're all getting drunk and all that sort of stuff. All the attractions are open, the whole witchfest and all that sort of stuff. The place is a zoo, I guess we can call it a zoo, but that's what it is. You know, well, why aren't you taking part in it? It's like, well, you know what? I'm a furry and this is my Halloween or something, you know? And when you talk about having fun at our age and things like that, a lot of us have lost close friends. We're old enough that, you know, they passed away and things like that. We miss them. But we want to enjoy what's left of our lives. And there's an old song that Louis Prima used to do, and I'm going to recite some of the lyrics. Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. Enjoy yourself while you're still on the pink. The years go by as quickly as a wink. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. And there's some other verses in there, things like, you know, you talk about, oh, years from now you'll travel, but how far can you travel when you're 6 feet underground? You better enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. And if they think it's kid stuff, well, it's life. You know, we want to celebrate it. And, you know, there's no limit to childhood. It's never too late to have a happy childhood. Go ahead.
I'm Phil Donahue again here.
I think I can do it without. One of the things... I've been to several different cons, sci-fi cons, esoteric cons, even business conventions. The furry conventions tend to be the happiest.
Yes.
Yes.
This is a happy con. I mean, you think, well, aren't the, you know, the other things should be happy? Yeah, they're enjoyable, they're not depressing, but this is a party. it has that feel about it.
I know.
And if you think that, you know, the rest of the world's hypocrites, well, at least in America, I can't speak because I don't know the statistics of the rest of the world. But we dress up in costumes. Well, I'm sorry, I don't, but I haven't come up with anything yet. Give me time. Well, guess what, guys? Halloween is closely and coming close to passing Christmas in sales revenue. So they're out there, the mundanes, if I may borrow a term from the SEA, are out there buying costumes and wearing them. So the only difference between us and them is we don't need an excuse.
Yeah.
I'm wearing my we know we want to do
any
it.
Anytime.
Exactly. Okay, next.
Go ahead, Mark. One thing I've always said real quick by handing that to him is, excuse me, growing old is inevitable. Growing up is optional.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
Look at the popular movies that are out there, the things like the Guardians of the Galaxy or Shrek or whatever. They're imaginative, they can be furry, Zootopia, I've got a panel on Sunday, things like that. That's what it is. I mean, look what's popular. The most popular movies that are out there are things that we like.
And that's how I explain furry to non-furry people.
Star Wars.
It's Zootopia.
Yeah.
And I think one thing that every con we've been to and we choose to keep going to has something very simple. We're furries. We don't take ourselves seriously.
Right.
We don't do the, oh, you're friend with X, therefore I cannot be seen within 10 feet of you.
Yeah.
We don't play those games. Pete's sake, the second FC we went to, it happened to be at the same time, eBay was having world sales convention there. They had the top 500 salespeople from eBay there for a convention. So what did we do? We got some cardboard. We had fursuiters waiting outside their final conference, and as they left, we had a line of 30 suitors holding signs that said, I didn't buy it on eBay, waiting as they entered. We have fun. That's why we're furries. The rest of the world... they can lie to themselves.
Were you stretching or did you have a point?
No. I wanted to let him finish his statement. But yeah, I'd like to. One thing I wanted to add, I don't need the mic, not my lungs. This con, you can have fun without being drunk or high.
Yeah.
Or having sex.
Yeah.
I'm not saying sex is bad. I'm just saying not required.
That's feedback.
Oh. Feedback,
yeah.
That's my lungs. They are just
feedback.
Really loud.
Having some panel feedback.
You know, most, you know, you go out to the mundane world and you know, people only seem to have fun and do karaoke and wild dances and Twister is when they're completely drunk or high, you know. You're like, but I do that for fun and I don't fuck my brain up by doing it. This is a natural childness.
Oh, you're raising your hand.
Yeah, no, I don't need the phone.
Okay,
yeah,
I don't need it. All right. All right.
Do
this professionally. One other thing about us that we should be very proud about is we're very accepting.
Yes.
There's
yes.
a lot of other, I've been to other cons and other groups, and they tend to get more closed. But over all the years that I've been, we still, everyone is welcome as long as they're nice. That's, you know,
yeah.
as long as you're a good person, you can be here.
We don't judge. We don't care.
Judge.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful. And it's very freeing, and probably one of the reasons why we are growing and we're all still here is because there is no judgment.
Yeah, it's crazy how you've got the rest of the world going nuts about, we've had the furry fandom 80s, 70s even, and it was kept so quiet. Now all of a sudden, we're on CSI, we're on MTV, you've got Walmart selling bargain fursuits. And
really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Heads.
Yeah.
Well, the
headset. It's a really good base to work off of to make something else of.
And
it's their way of distributing.
And you've got the rest of the world finally realizing what we, people like us, the gray muzzles, mm-hmm. have known all along. Why hide yourself behind a mask every day if you can be your true self and dang well enjoy it among
yes.
people that accept you?
Yeah. One thing about the fursuit parade. Things like at Anthrocon, Yappy Fox said, you know, we ought to have a little parade and go through the dealer's room because they miss seeing us. We could have that. So it started to get bigger and bigger. And someone said, why don't we put part of it outside? Guess what happened? Thousands of Pittsburghers, Yinzers, went outside, and the faces of the kids, the faces of the adults. I went to a thing called the Pittsburgh Banjo Club, and on Wednesday nights, they have a thing where you go to an alto, and people are going to play the banjos. And I was mentioned, they saw the talent, and they said, oh, are you guys going to be there again this year? Oh, we love you guys. Pittsburgh and us, we fell in love with each other. And it's a very, very, very welcoming city, but it's like, you know, in fact, the official, the slogan now, and for Pittsburgh, they have, you know, you put out a parking chair to save your snow space when you're shoveling.
Yes.
Pull up a chair. You are welcomed here. I think that applies to us, too. Pull up a chair. You're welcome. And we're almost done. It's 3:26. I don't know if there's anything else. If anyone has anything to say, do it now. You got anything? Go ahead.
One
hold the microphone.
Little fact. This was told to me, so I never really fact-checked it. But supposedly, as a group, furries do more for charity
yes.
than any other organization
yes.
in
right.
the world.
Well, I'll add to that one. We do more charity work for lesser known charities.
Yeah.
But ones that still need to be supported. Like the War Dogs and you know, Children's Association. Everybody's like, American Cancer Society and all these other organizations are great, but they're huge. Furry cons tend to support little or no ones that need help.
Well, it's not just the cons. A lot of fursuiters, you guys that do it, they go. A lot of them go to hospitals and children's organizations. There was one lady that was a fursuit. She still is a fursuiter. I hope she still is. She was telling me she's canine. She would have gone to this hospital, or whatever, and this kid came up. And the kid apparently had very bad vision, as in you have to. She has to be like nose to see it. So he's coming up and he's pawing her, looking at her, and then he goes, "Doggy!"
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful, but it gets better. The parents came by and said it's the first time the kids had spoken in like two to five years.
Wow.
So
yeah, that's awesome.
We do good. We have a positive effect on the world. I'm proud.
We do, and I think one thing that's going on, it's I think it's every generation looks at the generation coming after it and goes, what the heck is with you kids? But something you do have is the fandom is expanding. You've got a lot of people with different viewpoints. Because we're the gray muscles, whether we want it or not, we're the ones that are running most of the cons. We're the ones that while a lot of newcomers are going, what the heck are you talking about? You old. We've got an example we are setting to those who come. When you've got con security, when you've got people organizing events, even just on message boards online, be it FurryMuck or Twitter or whatever, we're the ones that are looked to as the you've been there, you've done that. We're setting the example. So right now, in this room, as Gray Muscles, we are making the fam a better place because we have people come to us and say, how the heck did you do that? Or how long have you been a ferret or a dolphin or a dragon or whatever? Do you know this person? But
there's a better one than that. I've had people come to me looking at me like, how do you turn this on?
Yeah.
So by helping people, like you said, we're not only helping charities and making the world a better place, we're making the fandom continue to be what it is when we came into it. What it is that made us as passionate about it as when we started.
And we have, I'd like to say a responsibility, but to put it simply, it's in our best interest to continue to do that. If you want a place to be, it's up to us to keep it a place to be.
Yeah, we have become the mentors that we had.
We do that on my college radio station. On the weekend, a lot of the DJs are people my age or even older. We've been there all that time. I graduated from the college in 84. I started in 81. Been there all that time. We've got the young kids there, and they're learning from us. We're learning from them, and we're doing different things. We had an all-acoustic music day. We had act after act come up and everything like that. It was great. And now, back in our day, it's like, well, if you're not within the range of the station, you can't pick us up. You can pick us up now online. So, I mean, it's all these technology. We're taking advantage of it. So we're all a little furry thing, and I'm like a gray muzzle on the radio. You know?
A little bit of a warning, though. Just as we become the mentors and we're making positive, we're also the ones that look to. If we be careful what you do because there are people watching.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Cog used
cameras.
This at Anthrocon. You know, they're up, the newspapers or whatever out there waiting to.
Oh yes.
Twist things if they can, and we know we've all seen that. And the thing is, you don't want to set a bad example, even in something as simple as dropping some litter on the ground. It just evolution setting the wrong precedent for the people coming after us.
The negative side of anything sells better.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh found out we spend lots of money. When we first got there, they were joking about us on the radio. Oh, their hotel rooms, they have big litter boxes and things like that. Now all the restaurants downtown are like, welcome furries, we love you.
Yeah.
As you said, like, fursuiters drink free because they never go alone. There's been like five people.
Right, exactly. Oh, fursuit karaoke night, by all means.
Okay, yeah, I'm not that drunk.
A couple restaurants down in San Jose, when we started FC, there was a little corner burrito shop. And Peter Pitt. And we went in there in suit. And it's like, oh, wow, this is great. What's going on? Well, there's a convention around the corner at the thing coming in this weekend. They're expecting about 5,000 to 8,000 people or more or something. And it was like, so you might as well get ready. And the owner went, what? We came back the next morning. He's like, I'm out of spot.
Yeah.
We want you. So the kick for us was because we'd warned the manager in time, he had a mass order coming that afternoon, and when we came in the Monday we left, he gave us all free sandwiches because he made more money in that
weekend
than he had that entire fiscal quarter.
Wow.
Because of the con.
Apologies, everybody. We've got to get some stuff done.
No problem. All right. We've had our fun hour. This has been great. Thanks very much. Yeah, thank you. Enjoy the rest of the con. I'm doing classic cartoons at noon tomorrow and Zootopia at 1:30 Sunday. There's a bunch of other great panels. Enjoy the fresh food parade and all the other events. All right, I had fun. Bye bye. I believe everything is going to be here. I'm here tomorrow and I'm here on Sunday at the same room, I believe. Unless they move me, because like they said, I want to do something with the screen. Maybe they'll switch rooms, but I'm either here or there. There's only two panels. So I'll be here, yes.
Down the road,
yeah, there's a lot more people.
Get ready, because furries come on.
Furries eat. Furries put a red light on. It means them all or something. I don't know. All right, hold on.